This is VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast.
Welcome in another edition of the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. I'm your host, Tim Murray, and it is great to be back in our normal Thursday settings as I welcome in the one and only Matt Newmans here to the show, and we're ready to run down all the games. It's an unusual week, Matt, obviously, with a lot of Thursday games. We are recording this on Thursday, but we are not going to dive into the Thursday games to give this a little bit more shelf life. So Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday games here for week number one. You and I back from our little trip out to Hawaii, and always nice to start the season with a couple of winners. Iowa State, Kansas State under was an easy winner. I never had to sweat that one bit on air.
Well, you had to sweat that quite a bit, just like we both did with the Hawaii game. But the bottom line is we got there, right? You cashed the ticket. We got there with Hawaii. I got there with Iowa State. And it's a great start to the college football season. Just got back from Hawaii yesterday, Tim. So it's good to be back. And this Thursday podcast feels just like yesterday. We were sitting here talking about Notre Dame, Ohio State.
I know. Wasn't too long ago. Well, we got so much to get to. I know you guys have been clamoring for this Thursday pod and excited to be back with humans. You'll be able to catch this on YouTube as well. Not live, but we will put up the YouTube recording a little bit later on Thursdays. And the goal this year is to get this podcast feed out a little sooner than it was last year. So please continue to rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast. The numbers have been just unbelievable. We've been hanging out in the top 100 all week long, just hard to believe. And maybe we get another bump today with a breakdown of the week one card. So let's jump right into it. And we like to look at these main games. We call them the main course.
The main course.
All right, Matt. Number one, Texas. Number three, Ohio State. Big noon kickoff on Fox. Our guy, the Bear, Chris Felica, will be there. College game day, our guy, Stanford Steve, he'll be there. Everybody's going to be at the Horseshoe, including Arch Manning. And this is a game that, from a betting standpoint, is so interesting because Matt Grill from DraftKings Sportsbook, who is a weekly guest on VSiN Primetime, came on the show Tuesday night, Matt, and he said, as of Tuesday, the most liability they had was on Texas. They're going to need Ohio State. Now, things obviously can change, but we've seen movement in the betting market. This number has dropped to about 1.5 in favor of Ohio State. Total sits at 47.5 or 48. So a movement there to the under. What have you done with this game? And will you be betting this monster showdown in week one?
I've already bet it. I bet it too, but I've got Texas for a little bit of +3, a little bit of +2.5, a little bit of +120, all those kind of like half unit plays each. But I am on the Texas side. And also I've got Arch Manning 8-1 to win the Heisman. And despite what some people think, he has not won the Heisman yet. I thought if the Longhorns would go to Columbus and win this game and Arch plays well, that the Heisman number would be down to +250, 3-1, something like that. So I grabbed the 8-1 over the summer. I do believe Arch is going to be the real deal. He's put on 20, 25, 30 pounds of muscle since last season. Got a lot more zip on his passes. We know he's athletic. He can get outside the pocket and make plays. He's got some experience. He did play some, started two games, played a little bit more last year. Didn't play as much as I wanted him to play because Sark stuck with Quinn Ewers. Probably that had a lot to do with the Longhorns' demise at the end of the season. But at the same time, I think Arch is ready to roll now. And when he takes the field Saturday, he's going to be the most experienced quarterback in that game by far. So Julian Sayin wins the job for the Buckeyes. He did not light it up in camp. And I think that Arch and the Longhorns should be able to win this game on the road. A little bit of payback for a college football playoff loss. I will say that when I made these bets, the Arch bet aside, I did not think Texas was going to be this popular as a side this week. I don't like to hear those numbers. I hate it when a team becomes too popular with the betting public. I thought Ohio State, Texas would be kind of a two-way action game where the Buckeyes get a lot of interest at home, and you're seeing Ohio State at this cheap price at home, and I think that's going to be tough to turn down for some people too. But I'm on the Texas side.
You know, it's not my favorite play, and week one is always one that you kind of go in with a little bit of a toe in the water feel. And, you know, you and I will kind of weave in our futures situations as well as this show goes on. But I'm at the point, Matt, where I'm going to take a position on Ohio State. I think I'm going to go half unit, first half, half unit, full game at a cheap money line price as we record this minus 120 out there. And I'll say this, Matt, I wouldn't be surprised if Ohio State closes as a dog here based off of how this market is going. So I have not bet the full game yet, but I am going to be in on Ohio State. Now, here's my biggest concerns about Ohio State this year. It's the coordinators. When you lose Jim Knowles and you lose Chip Kelly, you're downgrading at your coordinator position. There's no doubt about it. And Jim Knowles goes to Penn State. Chip Kelly, now our neighbor here in Las Vegas, they hire from within with Brian Hartline. He's never called plays before. I imagine Ryan Day will have his hand in play calling on Saturday afternoon. And then on the defense, you know, Matt Patricia comes in, and I don't know the last time he coordinated a quality defense, Matt. Hell, he was calling plays offensively in that nightmare season in New England a couple years ago. So I do have a lot of concerns there. I do think pound for pound, the two best players in this game are on Ohio State's roster, and Jeremiah Smith at wide receiver, Caleb Downs on the defensive side of the ball. But look, you mentioned it. Arch Manning, he does have some experience. Julian Sain does not really have experience. But if you're going to give me Ohio State as a, you know, underdog or around a pick 'em coming off a national championship, I'll take my swing at Ohio State here. Like I said, not my favorite play. You can't go into this game, Matt, though, without a little action. And I'll say this, why I like first half as opposed to full game, and I'm playing both, but I like first half a little bit more because I do feel like having the scripted plays for Ohio State benefits them better than as the game goes on. Steve Sarkisian is one of the most creative offensive minds out there, Matt. So I think there could be some wrinkles that he could figure out as the game goes on. And to your point, I think Texas could be a very good in-game opportunity if you get them, you know, north of one possession, north of a touchdown, because of Steve Sarkisian and his ability to call plays.
Well, I think the coordinator changes at Ohio State going to be a major downgrade. Jim Knowles off to Penn State, he's one of the best in the business. Chip Kelly, I thought, did a really poor job actually calling plays in the Michigan game last year. That was probably that was not Chip Kelly's finest hour. That was one of his worst hours. The last time we saw the Buckeyes at home in a regular season game, they were 20-point favorites, and they lost to Michigan and were held to 10 points. Now, Chip Kelly's play calling got a lot better in the playoffs, but boy, that was a horribly called game by Chip against Michigan last year. Just kept forcing the ball up the middle when there was no ground to be gained, and didn't let his quarterback make plays. But anyway, moving on, I think one reason I think Ohio State might disappoint some people a little bit this year is the quarterback's so inexperienced, and the coordinators are inexperienced in those positions. So I hate it that Texas is so popular, though. When I'm hearing bookmakers say their biggest liability is Texas, that certainly bothers me.
All right, let's get to a game Saturday night, Matt. This atmosphere, I think it'll top what we see at the Horseshoe on Saturday afternoon. Death Valley is the battle of Death Valleys, as you've got LSU heading to Clemson. Clemson, so much anticipation on this year. Cade Klubnik back for his third year as a starting quarterback, third year in this Garrett Riley system. They bring in Tom Allen, which I think is a massive upgrade at the defensive coordinator position. What a game to get on Saturday night at Clemson, as they'll be running down that hill and all the pomp and circumstance that goes into it. Matt, as we sit here on this Thursday morning recording at Clemson, a 3.5-point favorite, total 57.5. This did get as high as 4. LSU Clemson, does the dog intrigue you here in this spot in South Carolina on Saturday night?
At some point here, Brian Kelly's got to get over the hump and win a season opener. I don't know if it's going to happen here, but I'll say that I am playing LSU. I have not bet it yet. I'm hoping the 4 pops up again somewhere. I missed the 4 first time around. If I have to, I'll take 3.5 with I love the Tigers in this game, Tim. Lock of the week. Take the Tigers. No, I'm going to take 3.5 if I have to. And I'll live bet the game as well, but Garrett Nussmeier, one of the top quarterbacks in the country. LSU's defense much improved. You look at teams that were the biggest winners in the transfer portal in the offseason. LSU's right there at the top of the list or near the top of it. And I think Brian Kelly's got a quarterback and plenty of talent to work with here. If you look at Clemson last year, and I do think this Clemson team's better than it was a year ago, and that Tigers team got blown out of Texas in the playoff. But when Clemson stepped up to play the better teams on the schedule, Clemson fell short last season. Also had a pretty bad home loss to Louisville late in the season. So Clemson still got a little bit to prove in my eyes. But I'm going to go with the Brian Kelly side here and take the points. I'm going to hold out, see if I can find four, but if not, I'll take 3.5.
Yeah, I haven't bet this game yet, Matt. I mentioned Clemson was the first future bet I made. It was the national championship. It was to win the ACC, and I still like that bet. If you can get plus money, I got it at plus 140. I do think the big matchup to watch for in this one is the offensive line for LSU. You mentioned they went to the portal, heavy portal additions, but they do lose Will Campbell, who was a top five pick there in the NFL draft. Peter Woods and TJ Parker are going to be absolute menaces this year for that Clemson defense. I'm not talking, you know, vintage 2018 type of defense there for Clemson up front, but this is pretty damn good. And if you look at some early mock drafts, both those guys are probably going to be top 15, top 20 picks. I did like the fact that Dabo actually went into the portal, not massively, but he did pick up the defensive end from Purdue, who's a pretty good player. So look, I think Clemson, you know, it was funny. I was talking to Bill Conley of ESPN on the podcast a couple weeks ago, I should say. And he said, we're getting to the point where we're getting a little bit too high on Clemson, right? This was the chic team, one of the chic teams all offseason long. So I do think they have legit weapons at wide receiver and Antonio Williams and, you know, and TJ Moore. So I think there's some excitement there. Westco as well. Worth noting, they do lose Phil Maffa, who was a battering ram running back. But I like Clemson to win the ACC. I have not bet this game. I would actually lean probably your side looking at the points with LSU, and we'll see if Brian Kelly can finally get his first win as the head coach of LSU in week number one. I don't want to see him slamming any tables like he did last year in Las Vegas, Matt.
Fake outrage, right? That's what I call his
the
fake
outrage. Yeah.
His fake Cajun accent and his fake outrage. Let's enough. Brian Kelly's a bad actor. He'd never make it on the soap operas in the afternoon or in the movies. But Jimmy Opp from ESPN Radio Baton Rouge was on our show, and he said he likes the under in this game quite a bit. I believe the 58 was what Jimmy mentioned was the total he played under. That might be worth a look. I think this Clemson defense, LSU defense I mentioned, is going to be much improved. Clemson defense should be legit as well. And but you do have two pretty good quarterbacks going head-to-head in that game. So I didn't play the total yet. I'm not going to talk much about totals tonight. Tim, last week, you know, you and I were involved in a couple totals, played Hawaii under 50.5, played that Iowa State, K-State game under the same number, 50.5, 51. And you got to sweat out those totals just like you do sides sometimes. But I'm a better side player than a totals player in general. I might play a couple totals this week, but I'm not going to mention any as the best bets here.
Well, a best bet for me a couple weeks ago on the VSiN weekend morning line, Matt, was Notre Dame-Miami under, and that number moved wildly from 53.5 down to 49.5. This game's Sunday, 7:30 ABC, number 6 Notre Dame at number 10 Miami. And I think the big question going into this game is, what do we get from Notre Dame's quarterback play as CJ Carr gets the nod after a battle all through camp? And there were a lot of reports that Kenny Minchie, the more dual threat quarterback, was going to win the battle. Ultimately, it was CJ Carr who emerged. Marcus Freeman called it more of a gut decision. He praised his intellect and how he can depict and read defenses. So we'll see, Matt. It's going to be an interesting challenge. Miami's defense was a joke last year, so they went out and they got Minnesota's defensive coordinator to try to shirt things up. But you got to give the edge, at least right now, at quarterback to Miami, as they have Carson Beck, but that's a completely remade wide receiver room there. I believe the top 6 pass catchers have moved on there at Miami, Matt. We saw the threes reemerge here on this Thursday, back to Notre Dame -3, and I imagine the +3 for the dog is calling your name.
I did take 3 with Miami when the market moved yesterday. You know, you and I have talked about, I've been watching Notre Dame football since I was probably 1 year old. I remember sitting in front of the TV as a toddler with a bag of Burger King watching Notre Dame play Miami. And what's the trend, Tim? I think the Irish are 0-6 ATS at Miami. And really, not many of the games have been close. They played pretty poor performances for the Fighting Irish when they go to Miami, including, I believe, a national championship game that you went to, not including this, but in addition, didn't the Irish go to Miami and play Alabama in the national championship game, and it was 28-0 at halftime? Not that that directly.
Yes, I was at that game, but I was also there last January when they did find a way to win against Penn State. But yes, against Miami, I believe our friend Brad Powers pointed out that Notre Dame in their last six games at Miami against the Canes, 0-6, 0-6 ATS as well. And I think many of you probably recall the absolute ass whooping Miami gave Notre Dame in 2017. That was a really good Notre Dame team. They went down there, and Brandon Wimbush was all over the place. I think he ultimately got benched for Ian Book. 41-8, I believe, was the number in that one. And similarly, Matt, I think Miami closed as a three-point home dog, and that was really never in doubt. I think they led 27-0 at halftime.
One thing I'll mention here is that as far as the totals go, there are two totals I actually do kind of like. I should have bet these. Paul Stone came to town. He hammered the Texas-Ohio State under at 50.5. And I know Chris DeBerfalica likes that play as well. I think it makes a lot of sense. Texas-Ohio State under 50.5, but that total is now down to 47.5 or 48. And, Tim, I also like the under in this Notre Dame-Miami game. I think this ND defense is going to be legit. And you're going to have some issues offensively because Jeremiah Love can't carry the entire offense. C.J. Carr is going to have to make some plays. And apparently he did not light it up in camp, kind of like Julian Sand at Ohio State. So I wonder a little bit about the Notre Dame offense. The thing that tilted me to the Miami side here, one is the number. You get a full three with the Hurricanes with yesterday's move. I don't like the coach, Mario Cristobal. Don't really like the quarterback, Carson Beck, that much. But I'm concerned from the Notre Dame perspective about how C.J. Carr is going to play in this game. I don't think he's going to play great, Tim. So I think the Hurricanes should be live home dogs. But if you're talking totals, I would look under in Texas-Ohio State. Obviously, the best numbers are gone, under in Notre Dame-Miami.
A couple other quick notes about Notre Dame-Miami before we get to our spicy matchups here, Matt's favorite segment. You mentioned the under. I'm curious about the field conditions as well. Shout out to Joshua Nunn of Action Network who pointed me out. There's a game that's going to be played at Hard Rock Stadium on Saturday, a FCS game between Howard and Florida A&M. If there's any rain, are the field conditions a concern at all? So something to keep an eye on there. You mentioned the defense. I was texting with our friend Sammy P for his newsletter, and I said, I love this defense. I love this defense for Notre Dame. I think it's better than last year, even with the pieces that they lost. And look, maybe it's coach speak, maybe it's not, but Marcus Freeman was glowing and gushing about his defensive line at his media availability earlier this week. So take that for what you will. Sometimes, you know, coaches lie, and, that was the biggest concern outside of quarterback. So I really do like this defense. I think Notre Dame's upside is potentially winning the title if C.J. Carr hits. If he doesn't, then they could find themselves losing a couple of games. This will not be easy. There's no doubt about it. So you're in on Miami plus the three. I did bet the under way back a couple weeks ago here on the podcast and on VSiN. So I know that number does not exist anymore. Matt, before we get to our next segment, spicy matchups, just a reminder, folks, one of our many sponsors that helped us get our Hawaii trip off the ground, and these guys will be around all year long, is Rainbow Authentics. From game used apparel to autographs, trading cards, from your favorite University of Hawaii student athletes, Rainbow Authentics has you covered. They've also got custom gear. Mike Kawazoe, Matt, was throwing around some shirt designs that we could be interested in maybe a little bit later on here in the football season. So you can capture the moment, own a piece of history, and support Hawaii Athletics, rooted in community, built on excellence, Rainbow Authentics empowers student athletes and coaches, gives back locally, and proudly celebrates its island roots. Shop now, rainbowauthentics.com, and bring home a real piece of the action. We will talk about Hawaii and the uncertainty at quarterback a little bit later on here in the podcast, Matt. But Matt, I know you're a big fan of spicy foods, right?
No doubt about it, Tim. And in fact, we had some great trips, some great food in Hawaii while we were out there. And I'm definitely a fan of spicy foods and spicy matchups as well.
Muy caliente!
Spicy matchups.
All right, Matt, let's go Friday night here. We've got two games kicking off at 8 p.m. Eastern time. And one that you mentioned, Paul Stone, our good friend, handicapper down there in Texas. He's all over this game. He loves a particular side as we've got Auburn heading to Waco, Matt. 8 p.m. Eastern kickoff on Fox. Baylor Bears right now catching around 2.5 in the betting market for this Friday night game. Some of those hooks are starting to get scooped up now as it's now down to around 2 in favor of Auburn at Circa and the Westgate Superbook.
Tim, I did play Baylor as a home dog here. I don't actually love Baylor, but I like Baylor enough to play it here. I'm also a little bit, I'd say, anti-Auburn. I'm not buying into the Auburn hype as a lot of people are. And I think I'm trying to find my Baylor info on this game. But I do like the quarterback. I've got Baylor actually rated. This is similar to looking up my ratings here. This is similar to the Iowa State K-State game where I had Iowa State power rated a point better than Kansas State. And yet Iowa State was a 3.5, 4-point dog. So I had to play it based on that. I don't know if I'm right or not, but I know I won that bet with Iowa State. Here in this game, I've got Baylor power rated a 1.5 better than Auburn. And Baylor is a 2.5-point dog. I think they got two of the best in the Big 12, Sawyer Robertson, a quarterback, and Bryson Washington, a running back. Baylor 6-1 in the final seven games last season, lost to LSU in the Texas Bowl. But Dave Aranda's got a pretty experienced roster here. I think the offense is going to be a sure thing. Defense is a bit of mystery, but Dave Aranda typically gets his defense figured out. Not always, but sometimes. I like Baylor as a home dog. That's based on, like I said, maybe my rating's wrong, but I've got Baylor a little bit better, and you're getting 2.5 points with the home dog here. So that's I played it.
You know, looking at Auburn, you mentioned, you know, the buzz that's out there, massive addition, not only at the quarterback position with Jackson Arnold, whatever you think of Jackson Arnold. They also brought in Ashton Daniels. I think Stanford, from what we saw, could have utilized Ashton Daniels in that season opener against Hawaii. That quarterback play was dreadful by the Cardinal. But Ashton Daniels, I imagine, going to be a bit of a change of pace guy. But it's going to be Jackson Arnold's team. And then they go out and they get Eric Singleton, a massive addition from Georgia Tech. We'll talk more about the Ramblin' Wreck here in just a moment. But, yeah, I'm conflicted on this game, Matt, because there's people I respect on both sides. Some people say that the athletes for Auburn are going to be a little bit too much for Baylor. Maybe they were exposed in that bowl game. But then you look at the quarterback play, to your point, Sawyer Robertson was phenomenal down the stretch. And you think back, last year he was not the guy, right? It was a battle between him and Daquan Finn. And Daquan Finn is now, you know, playing for Miami of Ohio. So Sawyer Robertson was great a year ago. I do worry about the depth at the running back position. They lost Pendergrass to the year due to injury here recently. But I'm excited for this game. This is one of my favorite games of week one, and I don't have a position on it. I've kind of waffled back and forth. You know, I actually lean a little bit Auburn, but I'm going to pull for you and our guy Paul Stone that Baylor takes care of business. Matt, this next game on Friday night, I don't know what to do with it because Colorado was the talk of college football for 2 years with Coach Prime coming in there and his son Shador and Travis Hunter wins the Heisman Trophy a year ago. And now things are quiet in Boulder, and they announced that Caden Salter, the Liberty transfer, will be their starting quarterback. I expect their offensive and defensive lines to be significantly better, and a team that seems to be getting a little bit of hype to maybe win the ACC as a dark horse is this Georgia Tech team. And look, Georgia Tech plays the role of underdog incredibly well, but they're in the role of a road favorite here, Matt. And I do wonder if this gets to 4.5, I could find myself maybe holding my nose and taking Colorado. A lot of unknowns with this Colorado team, with the talent that they lost. And look, I'm a big Haynes King fan, but this is a different role for Georgia Tech. They're used to being that pesky underdog, as we saw last year against Miami, as we saw last year against Georgia. Now they're a road favorite in what should be a pretty good environment up there in Boulder, Colorado. So I'm intrigued to look at the dog here on Friday night, maybe taking the points with Colorado. A bunch of 4.5s out there, and I could find myself maybe backing a Coach Prime team when I don't know if I have done that at all in the first 2 years of his tenure out there.
Yeah, I don't really call him Coach Prime anymore. I call him Hype Man Prime, because he's a hype man more than he is a coach. Some of his clock and game management decisions are just so bad. It's hard to call him a coach, but he's a great hype man. He gets his team fired up and generates a lot of interest in college football. It's good to have him there. I'll say this. I don't like road favorites, especially this early in the season. Georgia Tech, I think, is people getting a little bit carried away, maybe with the Colorado fade here, because you lose Travis Hunter and Shedeur Sanders and everything else that the Buffaloes lost. But again, they brought in some talent. Caden Salter's a capable quarterback. I'm definitely not laying it with Georgia Tech. I'm looking at some possible plays in the Westgate College Football Contest, and I've got Colorado written down as a potential play this week. And like you said, if it goes 4.5, I'll probably, you know, bet that for something. I bet Colorado under the season win total of 6. That's my better bet in terms of a Colorado play. Well, you look at the schedule. I don't know how the Buffaloes are going to get to 7 wins. Even if they beat Georgia Tech, I don't know how they're going to get to 7 wins. So you're probably going to push or win that bet. Colorado under 6 minus 120 is out there right now, today. I think that's a really good bet. As far as the Georgia Tech game, it's going to be Buffaloes for a small bet or pass for me.
Let's get to Saturday, Matt, here. We'll circle back to Friday. You've got a position on another game on Friday, but we'll circle back to that here in just a little bit. A game that is a neutral site. It's in Atlanta. Tennessee and Syracuse, both these teams, to be honest, are kind of fades for me this year. I'm not going to play this game, but you mentioned it with Colorado. There's going to be a couple positions here that I'm pulling heavily for one side because of preseason positions, and that is Syracuse under 5.5 wins, Matt. I think Fran Brown has really done an impressive job in his first year plus as a head coach of Syracuse, but it felt like everything kind of hit last year when you think about close wins, when you think about a comeback against Miami, and the fact that they had a lot of talent. They had an NFL quarterback in Kyle McCord. They had an NFL running back in LaQuint Allen. Their top three receivers, Jackson Meeks, Trey Brepena, and Aronde Gadsden, they all are gone. Two of them to the NFL, one is off to Penn State. So I'm not going to lay the 14 here with Tennessee, but I do have under 5.5 wins for Syracuse, Matt, because that schedule, how about these games away from New York? Tennessee, at Clemson, at SMU, at Georgia Tech, at Miami, at Notre Dame. They'll be a dog in all 6 of those games, and they still have Duke, UNC, and Pittsburgh coming up to their house. So the schedule's brutal this year. I'm under 5.5 wins, and I hope Tennessee takes care of business, but I'm not going to lay 14 with the Fighting Josh Heupels here on Saturday afternoon.
You know, I like your underbet on Syracuse, and I've actually got a small underbet on Tennessee, under 8.5 at minus 140. Now, I didn't play that as big as I did some of the other win totals. It's a smaller play, but you look at Tennessee's schedule, Tim. You tell me how that team's going to get to 9 wins. That's going to be a challenge. Also, I'm not the biggest Nico Imeleva fan. And I'm not sure if I pronounced that correctly. Tim, you're better at pronouncing his last name. You want to go ahead and repeat that?
Yama Leaba.
Okay. Nico. I'm going to just call him Nico. UCLA got the better of the quarterback trade there, I believe, and Tennessee got the worst of it. I'm not playing this game at all, but I do have a little Tennessee under 8.5. I think Tennessee should probably roll in this game. But even if the Vols roll, I don't know how to get into nine wins this season.
All right, Matt, let's go to another game at noon. It's on ESPNU. We'll call this the Brent Musburger spot. We had Brent on the podcast last week, amazing stories, and he didn't seem too optimistic about his alma mater in Northwestern, but I am a bit optimistic on them in this spot. I feel like Tulane, because of the late addition of Jake Retzlaff, is getting a lot of love in this spot and in the AAC and maybe to win the American, go to the college football playoff. It's certainly possible. John Summerall said that he is not ready to name a starter, but it's no surprise that Jake Retzlaff has taken most of the reps. He's been impressed by what he's seen there. I look at this Tulane team, and while, yes, they do have some excitement at the quarterback position, Matt, they lose Mekhi Hughes. That's a massive loss. I mean, this is a guy who ran for over 1,400 yards a year ago. He's now at Oregon. They did lose Mensa, their quarterback, to Duke. They lost all their top wide receivers. You know, this is not a G5 team that is just bringing back everybody and is loaded for bear. So, you know, it's exciting that they got Jake Retzlaff, a good quarterback. He could be the starter. But I think this Northwestern team, and you and I, we love betting them as a dog with Pat Fitzgerald in those years. I think David Braun's squad is a little bit of a buy low candidate this year. I don't know if they'll make a bowl game, Matt. I think their win total sitting there at like 3.5, but they go out and they get Preston Stone. I think that's a massive upgrade at the quarterback position. Year two of a unique offensive coordinator in Zach Lujan, who came in from the FCS ranks. You know, David Braun, obviously an FCS guy as well. So I think Northwestern's pesky on Saturday, and I missed the 7, but I took the 6, and I do think I'll hit the little money line here with the Purple Cats. I think they could pull off the upset in New Orleans on Saturday.
Tim, I would tend to agree with that. I also think we're going to have to move a little bit faster in this podcast. We're going to be here until 2 in the afternoon, but I will say that it's going to be Purple Cats or pass for me. I'll probably pass. I don't really like to play bad teams on the road early in the season. We were on the sideline watching what happened with Stanford at Hawaii, right? You play a bad team on the road, they find a way to lose the game, find a way not to cover. I'd agree with most of what you said there, and also think that Tulane, how quickly can Retzlaff get in this offense and pick everything up and run the offense at a high level? I'm not so sure about that. Purple Cats or pass, but I think I'm going to pass on this one. By the way, Braun's done a really good job at Northwestern, and Pat Fitz had his name cleared, by the way. He had his name dragged through the mud there for a long time, but Pat Fitz is going to be back and coaching soon, you got to believe. And I think Braun's done a nice job in Evanston. But that's my take on that game.
All right, Matt, we'll go a little quicker here. As I agree, we have been we're excited. It's week one. There's a lot of games out there. You have a bet on this game, 12:45 Eastern Time, SEC Network. We saw this number get as low as, I believe, 7. Now it's back to 10. So that buyback coming in on Big Blue Nation. Maybe Dave Ross, now that he's a Kentucky resident, is betting this thing up. I don't know. Toledo, Kentucky, Matt, what do you make of the Rockets at the Cats?
Kentucky under 4.5 is one of my favorite season win totals. That's out there at -110 right now, so you don't have to pay much for it. I'd love to see Toledo pull this upset. I don't think the Rockets are going to pull the upset, but I got a bad number here. I'll admit it. Well, most people act like they have the best number on every game they talk about on these sports betting shows. Sometimes you don't have the best number. I missed the 10. I took Toledo +8. Now it's back to 10. So I did not play this one like a pro. But I like the Rockets. They beat Mississippi State. They beat Pitt last year. Jason Candle's a bet-on coach. I'm also fading Kentucky a little bit. Mark Stoops, I think, is at the end of the road. In Lexington, Zach Calzada, a seventh-year journeyman quarterback. Some of their better players transferred out. I think the Rockets should be alive to win this game, but it's interesting. It must have been a service play. I assume some influential tout service released Kentucky as a play. I'm not really sure why that line went back up from 8 to 10 in the market, but I do like Toledo.
3:30, Matt, on ABC, Alabama at Florida State. If this was 2 years ago, this might be the game of the week. But instead, Florida State coming off a two-win season, massive year upcoming for Mike Norvell. He brings in a new defensive coordinator and Tony White from Nebraska. He brings in Gus Malzahn, who leaves his post as UCF's head coach, to be his OC. I think this Florida State team maybe has some upside. I'm not going to bet this game, but similarly to you, what you mentioned it with Kentucky, I bet Alabama to make the playoff. I laid $1.80. There's a little bit of better price at FanDuel. I also put them together with the Bills to win the AFC East as a little cross-sport parlay at plus, I believe I got it at plus 110. I really like this Alabama team. If they lose on Saturday, they might as well light everything I have on fire. But I think their defense is loaded. Ty Simpson, as we mentioned with Julian Sayin and CJ Carr, Matt, an unknown at the quarterback position, but Kalen DeBoer didn't forget how to coach overnight. So I think Alabama takes care of business. I'm not going to lay the 14. I know some people out there are curious to take the home dog, which I don't blame them, but I think Alabama to make the playoff at around minus 180, still worth a play for me before this game kicks off. One last game on Saturday here in this portion of the podcast, Matt. Let's go to the Rose Bowl, your favorite arena in college football. Utah at UCLA, 11 p.m. on Fox.
Love it. Love the late kickoff. In fact, I booked a quick flight over to Burbank Saturday. Going to drive over to Portillo's, eat a pregame meal, and then head over to the Rose Bowl for Utah and UCLA. Look, Devin Dampier was a dynamic quarterback at New Mexico, but he had 31 total touchdowns last year, and I think 19 of those were rushing. He's got to improve dramatically as a passer against the better defenses he's going to face in the Big 12, and UCLA, I think, is going to have a legit defense as well. I was this number was hanging around at 6.5, and I was waiting. Come on, go to 7. I want to take UCLA plus 7. It didn't go there. Started to go the other direction. I got UCLA plus 6 here. I talked about the quarterback trade with Tennessee and UCLA. I think the Bruins got the better of it. And I don't like road favorites again, or especially early in the college football season. Talk about I'm betting against some of these road favorites, including Notre Dame and Utah, teams I actually like a lot in general, but I don't think should be laying these numbers on the road in week one. It's going to be a big test for Devin Dampier in the Rose Bowl. And I think Utah is going to try to run the ball. You know, total's 52. I'm kind of inclined to bet this under. But again, I don't want to go too crazy on totals because I don't have a lot of luck with those sometimes. And I'm going to stick with the home dog here. I don't see a 6 out there on the screen right now. It's like 5.5 is the best you can get with UCLA.
Yeah, Utah's a team that I did bet to win the Big 12, so I was happy to see Kansas State lose in that season opener. But this is a big one, no doubt. New offensive coordinator, new quarterback, as you alluded to. They were together at New Mexico. I'm all in on Devin Dampier, probably 2 in on Devin Dampier. So hopefully for your sake, it's a close UCLA loss, and Utah gets a bunch of rushing yards from Devin Dampier. So that game, 11 p.m., on Fox on Saturday night. Matt, we mentioned it. We were just out in Hawaii, and right now I'm wearing this quarter zip from Kahala, and we had some great Aloha shirts that we were wearing on the program. I wore to the game on Saturday. Kahala, the original Aloha shirt brand, founded in Honolulu back in 1936 and celebrating 90 years next year. They are a proud supporter of UH Athletics, and most of their Aloha shirts are made in Hawaii. From classic Aloha shirts to stretchy performance wear like I'm wearing right now, cooling promos, a polo perfect for golf, and even shorts, Kahala has you covered. Check them out online, kahala.com. They have 6 stores in Hawaii, and also check out their latest looks on Instagram at Kahala. All right, 2 more games in the spicy matchup portion, Matt, before we wrap things up with some off-the-radar games. Sunday, the appetizer to Notre Dame-Miami, Virginia Tech, and South Carolina. Insanely disappointing season a year ago for the Hokies. There were some thoughts that they could win the ACC. I took a long shot on Kyren Drones to win the Heisman Trophy. That died week one when they lost to Vanderbilt as a 13-point favorite. And now, Matt, they're catching 8 on a neutral against South Carolina. There's so much hype regarding this South Carolina team, Lenora Sellers, and what they can ultimately be. I'm going to buy low on Virginia Tech and sell high a little bit on South Carolina here. I'm not the biggest Brent Pry guy in his fourth year as the head coach of Virginia Tech. He is very, very much on the hot seat here. Kyren Drones, as I alluded to, was banged up most of last year, but he's back for another season, Matt. I'm going to take the 8 with Virginia Tech here in this spot on Sunday and hope that this is a little bit more competitive game. People are expecting South Carolina to just walk in and blow the doors off of a Virginia Tech team. Matt, you think back to last year when South Carolina kind of emerged as this Cinderella type team. They were a dog to Kentucky who didn't win a game in conference play. And now you're laying north of a touchdown against a Power 5 or Power 4 team. So I'll take the points with Virginia Tech. And then on Monday night, Matt, our old colleague, UNC's Michael Lombardi and Bill Belichick will be making their debut. You and I will be on the air for this game on VSiN Primetime. Very fascinating situation. Total has gone down a little bit to 56. It was up at 59. Spread sits at 3.5. I know you don't have a bet on it yet, but come Monday night on VSiN Primetime, do you think you'll be taking the points with the Tar Heels?
All right, first of all, I think South Carolina is one of those teams going to bounce a little bit. I like the offense a lot. A lot of questions about that South Carolina defense. So agree with most of what you said there. You know what's interesting? I hate the cliche trap, you know, that the books are setting a trap for bettors. But when you look at Monday night, TCU's a 3.5-point favorite at North Carolina. Tim, it looks too easy to take Bill Belichick in 3.5. And I've said this many times, this sounds ridiculous, but a lot of times I like a home dog more if it's catching 2.5 than if it's catching 3.5. That shows you right there that I think is that North Carolina is kind of a weak home dog. And I'm not saying they're trying to trick the betting public into taking Belichick plus 3.5, because that's not really the case. But sometimes you look at that 3.5 number, you say, wow, I got to take more than a field goal on the hook with Belichick at home. I'm not going to fall into that trap, I don't think, on Monday night. That's going to be a really interesting one, because when you look at it initially, you think, oh, yeah, got to take Belichick in the 3.5. Not going to do it. By the way, the Kahala Hawaiian shirts, I really like the one I wore last Friday on the show, the blue and white one. Got a lot of compliments on that. You and I were in the press box with Timmy Chang and others last Friday from Honolulu, and a lot of people commented they love that Kahala Hawaiian shirt I had on. I believe they were complimenting the shirt and not being sarcastic and taking shots at the Hawaiian shirt I was wearing, because it was a pretty sharp Hawaiian shirt, Tim.
I agree. No, they were amazing. They were airy and very much enjoyed them. I've never had a real Hawaiian shirt. You know, I've had the knockoffs, but that's the real deal that we wore out there. All right, Matt, let's go back in time. Let's go to Friday. We'll bang through these as we kind of get to the best of the rest portion of the week one card. UNLV and Sam Houston. They'll be playing this game at the Houston Dynamo Stadium. So this will be a neutral site game, but obviously closer to Sam Houston in proximity than UNLV, Matt. Right now, mostly 9.5s out there, but if you do like the dog, it looks like South Point has a 10. Sam Houston and UNLV both played in week 0.
Yeah, I like the dog. I took 10.5. It was 13. That 13 was hanging out there over the weekend. I think our friend Paul Stone got 13 or 13.5 with the Bearcats with a K. Sam Houston led Western Kentucky 24-20 early in the third quarter in that game. I went back and watched it. I liked a lot of what I saw from Sam Houston in that game, aside from running out of gas and allowing the Hilltoppers to score the final 21 points of the game. Hunter Watson, a quarterback, 300 total yards, 209 passing, 91 rushing. So you got a dual threat quarterback. Alton McCaskill, a running back, 72 yards, 6.5 per carry. But an important part of this handicap for me is the Sam Houston run defense allowed 105 yards, but on 35 carries. So 3 yards per carry. The pass defense was shredded for 400 yards. I'm not sure Anthony Calandra and Alex Orji, the UNLV quarterbacks, can take advantage of that through the air. It's got to be a huge red flag that the Rebels' defense allowed 555 total yards to Idaho State. And Jordan Cook, their quarterback, put it in the air 50 times for 380 yards. You're laying a big number here on the road. I know you said it's not a true home game for Sam Houston. I think that's called Shell Energy Stadium, about 60 miles from campus. So you're not going to have the true home field advantage. But again, this is a big number for the Rebels to be laying on the road. And I wouldn't be surprised if the Bearcats take him to the wire here. So I took 10.5. Still take the 10.
All right, let's
still
go to
9.5. That's the best number you can get.
Matt, let's go to Saturday. We'll go through a couple games of note. Neither one of us have a bet on the side, I don't believe, in this one, but you do have a win total. Indiana plays Old Dominion. I talked about this game with Wes Reynolds. He said if it got to 24, he would actually be going against his alma mater and taking the points with Old Dominion. Indiana last year, as I mentioned on the podcast with Wes, the best cover margin as a favorite a year ago. They beat the market by 16.6 points per game a year ago when they were a favorite. They're now laying 24 against Old Dominion. I know you don't have a play on the side here, but what do you think about Indiana this year?
It is a big number for the Hoosiers to be laying. I love the quarterback transfer, Francisco Mendoza from Cal. I saw CBS Sports yesterday projected him to be the number one overall pick of next year's NFL draft. I think that's a little bit too overhyped, even though I like him quite a bit. I agree with what Wes said. You get up there that big a number, you got to give the dog a bit of a look. Old Dominion can be a pesky underdog. The bargain prices on Indiana are gone. Last year we played the win total over 5.5. This year I just played Indiana's win total over 8.5 at plus 110. That was one of the easiest win total bets you could have last year with the Hoosiers and Kurt Cignetti in his first year. Now you got to play this over 8.5, but I still like it. No play on the game, but I do think Indiana's going to win a bunch of games again this year.
Matt, I want to go to 3:30 on Fox. Iowa State, fresh off of their win over in Ireland. You know, we like to talk situational spots, and you know, I'll be fully transparent here. I am not an FCS guru by any stretch of the imagination. South Dakota, I do know, lost a decent amount of their coaching staff this offseason. But from a situational spot, you could not ask for a more challenging spot for Iowa State when they're coming off of an emotional win over a conference rival in Ireland. And next week they play Iowa in the annual Cy-Hawk game. So I was hoping for a better number. Maybe we get it later on Saturday, but I did personally bet South Dakota plus 15.5. I think sandwich spot, Matt, this is a really, really big sandwich spot here for Iowa State as they come back from Ireland. And then next week they take on Iowa. So also Phil Steele pointed out in his preview magazine, Iowa State 3-10 ATS against FCS opponents. So I will take the points with the Coyotes and hope that we could keep this thing close. Maybe a first half look might be a better way to go about it, Matt. I do want to get to the late night games. There's two late night games in addition to Utah and Oregon State. And we'll start with Hawaii and Arizona. A lot of questions regarding the health of Micah Alejado, Matt. And this game will be on TNT at 10:30. And Nahoku was the presenting sponsor for our trip out to Hawaii, Matt. And they are going to be the weekly sponsor of the Hawaii game. So the weekly Hawaii preview brought to you by our friends over at Nahoku, Hawaii's finest jewelers since 1924. From timeless island-inspired designs to modern fine jewelry, Nahoku lets you carry the aloha spirit wherever you go. Visit their website, nahoku.com, or stop by one of their many locations, whether it be in Hawaii or on the mainland. Matt, this number was 13.5 on Sunday. Both you and I laid the 13.5 with Arizona. Micah Alejado is practicing. Luke Weaver met with the media, their backup quarterback. We talk about bad situational spots for Iowa State. This is a brutal one for Hawaii as well. I think the Rainbow Warriors might be better off taking their paycheck and going home. So I think this could be an ugly one here with Arizona hosting the Rainbow Warriors.
Yeah, the situation with Iowa State, you can call it a sandwich spot, a hangover spot, whatever you want to call it. That's a really tough spot for the Cyclones coming back from Ireland off the big win over K-State. So I agree with you there. Here, the situation for Hawaii's just a little better, but not much. Because you and I talked about this. We were on campus last week. That game had a Super Bowl feel to it for Hawaii. That was a hugely important game for the Hawaii program. The coaching staff, the players, everybody involved, they put so much into that game. Your star quarterback hobbles off with a right foot ankle injury. He toughs it out, comes back, makes a couple big plays. You pull the game out, Tim, and you celebrate. You spend the week probably thinking about the win over Stanford more than you should be, and not enough prep for an Arizona team. Noah Fifita's back at quarterback. Did not put up big numbers last season. Loses Tep McMillan at his star wide receiver, first round draft pick. So that's a big playmaker that Arizona's got to replace. I just think the spot here is really bad for Hawaii. Also, another thing that showed up to me last week when we were watching the game, Tim, I think Arizona coaches are smart enough to see it on film. This is going to be a late afternoon game in Tucson. It's going to be hot again. A Hawaii defense was really wearing down at the end of the Stanford game. The Cardinal were running the ball right at the Hawaii defense. They were pushing the defensive line off the ball and getting anything they wanted on the ground. Why Frank Reich started to call pass plays and have Ben Gilbranson put the ball in the air is a mystery to a lot of people, but we, you and I, are happy he did it, because that's how Stanford lost the game. I think Cardinal keep this, or excuse me, Arizona is going to keep this ball on the ground the way Stanford should have. They're going to wear down the Hawaii defense, and I'm just not sure how much Micah Alahato can get done here. He's a tough kid. He's going to want to play. He's going to hobble a little bit. I saw he was on the field yesterday throwing drills. But mobility is a big part of his game and what makes him so good. Get outside the pocket, make plays. You and I saw that. We were on the sideline Saturday against Stanford. I don't think he's going to be able to be the same type of player here. Probably a good chance that Hawaii gets blown out in this game in Tucson. The number's up from 13.5 to 17.5. A lot of people see it the same way.
Yeah, no doubt. And, you know, Sunday I was kind of frantically trying to find someone to place that bet for me. So I did lay a little 13.5. Wouldn't lay it at 17.5, as you mentioned, but we'll see what the status is of Micah Alahato if he does play, if that number comes down and maybe you get back in on Arizona. You know, for Hawaii, a team that I have over their win total, Sam Houston, Portland State, and Fresno the next 3 weeks at home. You never want to punt on a game, but man, it does feel like an opportunity with a three-game homestand upcoming. All right, Matt, we'll wrap with this on game previews. Another 10:30 Eastern kick. I'm really looking forward to this one, not only because our colleague Stormy Bonatoni will be on the sidelines, but I love late-night games in Corvallis. They always kind of get wacky, and I think this is a big game for Oregon State. And I really wanted to bet this game over the summer, Matt, and it got to 3 in favor of the Beavers, so I stayed off of it. Well, now this week we saw more money come in on Cal, moving it back to the original number. So I laid -120 at DraftKings on the money line here with the Beavers. You know, Cal's going to be starting a freshman quarterback. He's from Hawaii. I'm not going to try to pronounce his last name. He is a highly touted kid. but I think this Oregon State team, Matt, you know, year two in this kind of wacky transitional time, they weren't that impressive a year ago under Trent Bray, but, you know, maybe they get that year two bump, year two of an offensive coordinator. They bring in Malik Murphy, who maybe didn't live up to the hype at Duke. Obviously, once upon a time was a Texas kid. But I like Anthony Hankerson back at the running back position. And if you're giving me a short number here on Oregon State, with what is tends to be a pretty good environment. You know, we think back to some of those Jonathan Smith teams that were always so feisty as an underdog in Corvallis. So slight home favorite against the Cal team. I don't know what to expect from them this year. I'm going to take Oregon State, the Beavers, on the money line to have a little late night action, Matt. So 10:30 Eastern, the Stormy special. Give me the Beavers as a short home favorite against Cal.
You know, I've thought about playing this too. I former Cal quarterback, I called him Francisco, probably because I'm thinking about the Bay Area. Fernando Mendoza has gone to Indiana. New quarterback, you said he's got Hawaiian connections. Jaron Kiwi Sagabatelli, I think is how you pronounce his name. I'm not 100% on that, Tim, but I think that's right. He's actually a pretty good athlete. Could be a pretty good replacement for Fernando Mendoza at Cal there in Berkeley. But I'm probably with you here. I was looking at this game last night. trying to make a convincing case. I couldn't really make a convincing case, but I think you can make a maybe a somewhat of a case for Oregon State here in what you call the Stormy Special. Does she know you call it that?
I don't know. Well, we'll ask her if that's okay, if I'm allowed to call it the Stormy Special. But Cal did lose Jaden Ott to the transfer portal, too, their leading rusher a year ago. So they lost a lot of pieces, and we'll see. It just seems like something's off there with that Cal program. Justin Wilcox, believe it or not, year number 9. All right, Matt, that's going to do it. As we like to do to wrap up the podcast, we like to tell people what we bet.
Best Bets Recap.
All right, Matt. All right, Matt, as I can't speak properly here at the end of the podcast, best bet recap time. What do you got, sir?
That's right, Tim. Matt is a difficult name to pronounce, I understand. let's get to
it. It's like a Jaron Kiwi Sagapatelli.
That's good. Best bets, Baylor +2.5, home dog against Auburn. Sam Houston +10, home dog against UNLV. Texas +1.5 at Ohio State. Toledo, I guess we'll go +10 for today, since that's the current number. I've got +8. Grab the 10. Do better than I did. Get Toledo +10 against Kentucky. UCLA +5.5 against Utah. And again, I don't like taking the inferior coach here. Kyle Whittingham's always been a bet-on coach for me. I want to see – that's part of the reason I'm going to Rose Bowl. I want to see these teams up close. A bit of a mystery, both teams for me coming into the season, even though I think we know a little bit better what to expect out of Utah. I mentioned Devin Dampierre, Tim, last year. I like him a lot, but he had 12 TD passes, 12 interceptions, and completed 58% of his passes. He's got to get better as a passer. Also, LSU +3.5. I'm going to hold out, see if I can get 4. And Miami +3 against Notre Dame. So 7 sides right there. And it looks like 7 underdogs this week.
What a shocker, Matt. You like underdogs. I had about -10,000 that you'd have mostly underdogs in your card.
Well, I did have one favorite last week, Tim. I actually had 2 favorites last week. We didn't have the podcast. We were headed to Hawaii, didn't do the plays. I did have Hawaii -2.5. No sweat there, right? And Iowa State is a dog. And my worst bet of the early season college football, I laid a big favorite, which I never do, so that was my lesson not to do that anymore. I laid 26.5 with UNLV. Had a lot of closing line value there after it went up to 30.5, and UNLV barely won the game. And I want to mention quickly some of the win total bets I've got. And Stanford already off the board. Stanford under 3.5. Purdue over 2.5. Really can't play that now. I played that at -160. It's now up to -210. But these you can play. These are current numbers. Colorado under 6, -120. Indiana over 8.5, +110. Kentucky under 4.5, -110. Missouri over 7, -130. Oklahoma State under 5, -110. And Oregon under 10 at -110.
All right, Matt, I'll hit on my best bets here to recap this week. And not included is the under in Notre Dame, Miami. We talked about that a couple weeks ago. I'm not going to give out a bad number here on the podcast. So bets as of now, Northwestern +6 against Tulane. Also in that noon window, Matt and I going head to head. I do have Ohio State waiting to see where this number goes. But for grading purposes, we're going to go half unit first half money line, half unit full game money line. Nothing on Alabama, Florida State, but I do have them to make the college football playoff. -180 or better is still out there. I think this is a playoff bound team in 2025. Late night, let's go Oregon State money line -120 as of recording at DraftKings against Cal. Earlier in the day, South Dakota, I believe the number was 16.5 at some shops. I got it at 15.5. I think anything north of 2 touchdowns, take a look at it. Situational spot, great. But I think pure numbers, you are getting baked in that situational spot. And then on Sunday, Matt, I'm going to go against the upstart or everyone's darling. That is South Carolina. I'm going to take Virginia Tech +8. So those will be my best bets here on the podcast. Win totals, as you alluded to, haven't checked the juice on these, but I do have Wisconsin under 5.5, BYU under 7.5, Nebraska under 7.5. Now, the BYU one was a little fortunate. I was just around when that number came out when Retzlaff was leaving the program. But we talked about it earlier in the podcast. Syracuse under 5.5, a best bet for me as well. And one that Wes Reynolds was in on and Todd Furman talked about too on the Wednesday podcast. Army under 7.5, a best bet out there as well. All right, that's going to do it, Matt, for the podcast. As a reminder, 3 episodes every week in your feed now on the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast, including the Thursday episode, which you're going to put up on YouTube at VSiN Live there on YouTube. Thanks to Wyatt Tomchek, our producer, as well as Ryan Hunter, our producer of the podcast. For Matt Newmans, I'm Tim Murray. Let's get some winners in week 1 right here on the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast.